Morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 35 through 37. That's the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 35 through 37. So do not give your hope, which will be greatly rewarded. For having done what is right in God's eyes, you have need of waiting before his word has effect for you. In a very little time, he who is coming will come. He will not be slow. May God bless the reading of his word and may he come quickly. Amen.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. A little frog in my throat. What a blessing to be in God's house today, amen? We have no need to be little Miss Grumble Tummy, do we? We are so blessed. Do you feel blessed today? Amen. We serve an awesome God. You know, when you serve God, sometimes the devil throws stuff at you, especially if you're speaking that week. But where the devil tried to keep me busy, I praise God for the opportunities for new customers. Where he tried to attack the ones I loved, I praise God for the time and ability to help them. Where he threw obstacles at me, I praise God that for the opportunity to exercise my faith. We serve an awesome God, and we have so much to be thankful for. Today I want to start with a little story, a true story. In 2010, lose my voice here, in rural Tennessee, Paulette and Jean Kranick's grandson set a fire in a burn barrel outside the couple's home. He added the garbage, then he went inside to take a shower. A few minutes later, he noticed adjacent shed was engulfed in flames. It didn't take long for the fire to spread to the house. The couple watched their house slowly burn to the ground. Frantically calling 911 as firefighters refused to respond. See, the couple lives outside the city limits, so they were required to pay a $75 annual fee for fire protection. But they didn't. So firefighters ignored their calls for help. Once the fire spread to the neighbor's property who had paid the fee, firefighters showed up and put that blaze out and then hung around to watch the home on fire burn to the ground. Jean Kranick said, "I thought they'd come out and put it out, even if I hadn't paid the $75, but I was wrong." The fire chief responded, "It's a service we offer. Either you can accept it or you don't." The couple did lose a pet in the fire. The couple says they offered to pay whatever it would take if they just put out the fire, but still no help. NPR reported on this, and one resident told them that, in her opinion, I think morally the right thing would have been done is to put the fire out. Someone else said the Kranicks brought the devastation on themselves. Perhaps Paulette Kranick's opinion matters most. "You can't blame the firefighters. Have to do what the boss says to do," that she told the Associated Press. "And I've had firemen call and apologize." This may sound kind of harsh, but it need not happen to you. Let's pray before we enter our message. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the examples. And I pray that as we study your word, we would find our hope, where our protection lies, and that we don't have to have fear, but that we can trust you. Please speak through me, that your name be lifted up. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen. Did it again. Need to shorten the cord. Sounds kind of like a fire and brimstone sermon, right? Might not be asked to do this again. Romans 15:4 says this: "For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we might, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." God's word is not for fear, amen, but for our learning, that through patience, see that little letter by patience? Patience in the the Greek is also translated as perseverance. That through the perseverance and comfort of his word, we can have hope. In that context, let's go back to our story. In retrospect, do you think the Kranichs think that $75 would have been a cheap enough insurance to save their investments? That's not very much money, right? $75 a year. Were they offered fire protection? Was it available to them? Right? Should the fire department have allowed them to get the service for free? That's a little touchy one, right? It'd be kind of hard for them to do that if everybody else paid, right? If everybody else accepted it. The story is sad, but fortunately not tragic. None of the Kranichs were harmed, and houses can be rebuilt. There's a lesson in the story, though, if we'll listen. We are offered fire protection, but do we believe we need it? Do we believe there's a judgment, a lake of fire? We believe that? Do we really believe it? Who's that prepared for? For little Johnny? He's a troublemaker. No? Who was it prepared for, Jim? That's right. That's in Matthew 25. It says, "The lake of fire prepared for his devil, the devil and his angels." But since Adam's fall, we've kind of inherited this fate, right? Romans 5:12 says this: "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned." Do we need some fire protection? I would say so. I'm here to tell you, though, that God's word offers hope. It's not doom and gloom. Romans 5 continues in verse 15. "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who had sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification." This is the good news of the gospel, right? Jesus is our only protection from the fire that will come. Through him we can have hope. You should get an amen on that one. This is good news. So why will any be lost? Ever really think about that? Why? So the Bible says that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who will go in by it. In Matthew 7:13. Why? If we have this good news, Jesus did it, right? He did it for us. Why should any be lost? That's right. Is there a fee for our actions? What's the wages of sin is? Death. Gene said, "I thought they'd come out and put it out, even if you hadn't paid your $75. But I was wrong. Most of the world will be lost because they believe that God will just save everyone. Isn't that kind of the common message? Oh, it's okay. Nothing really matters. God is good. Good things happen. And God is good, amen? But sin is something that has to be dealt with. Is just saving everyone what the Bible teaches? So what needs to be done to be saved? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. And in here we find the story of Paul and Silas in jail. And you remember the earthquake, and the jailer thought for sure he was doomed, right? You know what happens to a Roman soldier when the prisoners escape, so he'd rather take care of it himself rather than... So he knew that his end was destruction, right? Is that where we're headed if we don't have Jesus? Beginning at verse 30, it says this. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? The fire chief in our story said, "It's a service we offer. Either you accept it or you don't." So what does it mean to believe on Jesus? You have to accept the gift, right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift, but we still have to do something. You still have to accept it. If you don't accept it, it's not available. And you don't want to wait till it's too late, till things are burning down around you to accept it. This is how we get fire protection. We have to accept it. It's an action word. This is what we have to do. Why would anyone not accept it? That's a good question, right? Is there a lot of people who don't accept it? Maybe we have a message to get out. Why would anyone have to burn? We have a choice to make: deal with the fire ourselves or allow Jesus to take care of it. Is fire protection needed? Do we have a need for salvation? I mean, this guy was probably pretty devastated. He lost pets in his house, things that were important to him, maybe he worked his whole life for. But how much more important is your family, your friends, yourself, your relationship with Jesus? We take it pretty lightly, don't we? Anyway, sign me up for some fire protection. Let's spend a little time in God's Word to try and understand how and why to sign up. First, we need to know we need it, right? I think a lot of Satan's distractions, you don't need it. There's a lot of, what do you call it, Steve? Fluff? Cheap grace? A mush God, yeah. He just saves everybody. He has no character, no backbone. He just loves everybody. He does love everybody. But he gives everybody an opportunity. If we'll just take it, people need to know they need this, right? I think we've gotten so afraid to talk about consequences and what's going to happen that we've kind of made God mushy, right? He just saves everybody. Well, we need to really trust him. We need to develop that relationship. It takes building that relationship. We need him, amen? Are there fire hazards in this life? Let's see what puts us there, right? Okay, I need to know how to avoid it. Maybe we should see what the fire hazards are. Turn to Revelation 20, verse 10. We'll start there. It says, "The devil who deceived them was cast in a lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever." So I guess, those are little words, aren't they? I apologize. Bigger font, Jim. So the first way to try to stay out of that hot spot is avoid association with the devil, the beast, and the false prophet, right? That's another sermon. I think Steve has that one. But the first thing is just to stay away from the devil and his temptations. Slide on down to 20:15. Chapter 20, verse 15. "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." Another fire hazard. How many want to be in that book? It's a pretty easy choice, right? Written in the book or or the alternative. And then if you slide over a page, Revelation 21, 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, Idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Sounds like a bunch you want to avoid. Sounds like people, never mind. How do I avoid being like that? God gave us some rules to have a full, safe life, amen? And to avoid fire hazards. We need not fear, but we need not be deceived. Is there any doubt we need fire protection? Do we need Jesus? Do we need protection from what we've earned? So how do I sign up? In John 3, Jesus met a Pharisee. Remember who he was?
Nicodemus.
And Nicodemus had some questions. I think Nicodemus really, he saw the miracles of Jesus. I think he really wanted to believe, but he was a Pharisee too. And he really was torn. So he met with Jesus out in the open?
At night, right?
He said, I don't want to quite ruin my reputation, but I want to check this out. In John 3, we see that Nicodemus was seeking for answers. Jesus told him he must be born again. What is that? In verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So, what is being born again? Baptism, right? Being born of water? Being born of water of the Spirit? Let's continue on. In verse 14, I think everybody knows John 3:16, right? But I don't think we read it in the context of the story of Nicodemus very often. And there was a lot more around that verse. So let's start at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that almost sound like the exact same thing twice in a row? Might be important, right? He really wants us to understand, you don't have to perish. You don't have to have it burned down around you. There is an opportunity. Just hang on to Jesus. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When we are born again and ask Jesus into our heart and publicly accept him through baptism, our names are written in the book of life. That's some good news. Amen? This is how you sign up for fire protection. Well, then I'm good, right? Lifetime coverage, one-time fee. I'm in. Maybe so. Might read the policy. Can our names be removed from the book? Yeah. Why is that? I think we've got a loving God, an awesome God. He said he died for us, right? Why would a loving God allow our names to be removed from the book of life? Well, the world's asking these questions, so I mean, do we have an answer? What do you think? There we go. God, that's one thing that's different between the enemy and God, right? The enemy will always try to deceive you, force you, trick you, whatever it takes to get you to follow him. But God never does. God will always give you all the information, allow you to choose. Choose to accept it. In Revelation 3:5, it says this. He that overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I shall not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. So if he'll not blot it out for this reason, it infers that there are names that are blotted out, right? Who? Who's blotted out? Those who do not overcome, right? Those who are not covered, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We keep our fire protection by hanging on to the provider. Hang on to Jesus. The Bible uses overcome, overcame, or endurance, perseverance, or patience over 200 times. Might be an important thing to focus on. What are we to overcome? Sin, selfishness, the world, right? How can we do this? By holding on to Jesus tenaciously, right? Every day. persistently. In each of the letters, the seven churches of Revelation, Jesus said, to him that overcomes, I will give to them to eat of the tree of life, hidden manna, not to hurt by the second death, etc. But it was always to him that overcomes, to whom who perseveres, to him that holds on. We have to hold on. We have to really want it. When we're in heaven, do you think this fire protection will have been cheap enough? Amen? Yeah, hindsight is 20/20, they say, right? Don't buy into the lie that it's too hard or it's not worth it. Or worse yet, there's no cost. Is there a cost for sin? You were bought with a great price. Jesus paid the fee for our fire protection. But do we understand our great need of it? I watched a TED Talk, as salesmen do, by a lady who was on the strongest predictor for success. And they did a study, and they studied kids, adults, professionals, athletes, salespeople. And the question was looked at is, who is successful and why? They went to West Point and tried to predict which cadets would stay in military training or who would drop out. They went to the National Spelling Bee and tried to predict which children would advance the farthest. They partnered with private companies and asked which salespeople are going to keep their jobs. That's why I was watching it. And earn the most money. In all those different contexts, one characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success. What do you think it was? What was that?
Perseverance.
It wasn't social intelligence. It wasn't good looks. It wasn't physical health. It wasn't IQ. It was grit. They called it grit, but you're onto it. Grit is a passion and perseverance for the long-term goals. Grit is having stamina. Grit is sticking with your future day in, day out. Not for just 1 week, not for 1 month, but for years. You're in it for the long haul. Christianity is not just one and you're done, right? You get baptized and I'm all good, right? I can do what I want. It's a long-term relationship. They took the study to the Chicago Public School System and studied grit, and they gave them a questionnaire to thousands of juniors and then waited for a year or so to see who would graduate. Turns out those who with perseverance and grit were significantly more likely to graduate in spite of their wealth, their intelligence, their social status. It was the determination and perseverance and stick-to-itiveness. I made that word up. Interesting study. Passion, perseverance, stamina, sticking with your future can give you your best shot to succeed in this life. It is good advice. I wonder if they learned it from Scripture. Someone, if they would have read their Bible, they would have found it there. Throughout God's word, we are encouraged to endure, persevere, overcome, to stick with our future. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you what? A future and a hope." God doesn't want us to have to worry about what's ahead, but he does want us to prepare for it. He wants us to know that there's a future for us, that he's got a future for Bob, he's got a future for Noah, for Larry, for each of us, that he's looking out for us, and he's in that long-term relationship, and all we have to do is accept it. Our scripture reading today in Hebrews read this, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. So after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." Jesus is coming soon. Amen? Amen. Matthew 24 gives us some advice to prepare. Starting in verse 12, 24 verse 12. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." You see a world like that today? Yeah. There's not much care. There's not much concern. People are in their phones. They barely acknowledge you. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. When we accept Jesus and are baptized, our name enters the book. We are justified by his right doing. And if we tenaciously hold on to him, we will continue in his will, overcome sin through him, and know we have protection from the lake of fire. That's some pretty good news, huh? Just seeing what the devastation is here in this world when there's a fire. I think there's a few of us that have been on the fire department here, and it's not a pretty thing when you're fighting a fire, when you see the devastation, the loss. I know there's others that have family that lost everything in a fire. But we need not be that way for us. Revelation 14:12 says this. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You see that little letter there again? By patience? You know what that's? Endurance. Perseverance is what it was in the notes here. Here is the perseverance of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Here are those with the grit, the passion to hang on to Jesus. This is our only hope. Amen? James 4:7-8 says this. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I saw a little clip from Billy Graham, and he said, people are quick to quote scripture and say, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. But they don't submit. It says, first, submit to God, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Can we do it on our own? No. We need a big brother. We need Jesus. We cannot resist the devil on our own. We must first submit to God. When we first submit to God, then we can resist the devil and he will flee. We need not be like the Kranichs and find out that it's too late to sign up for fire protection. Things need not burn to the ground. Jesus has offered himself for our protection. If you've accepted him, hold on to him. Submit to him. Endure to the end. If you haven't yet accepted Jesus, don't wait. There is no need for loss. He has paid the fee. Submit to him. Accept his love. He is waiting. Open the door. Let him in. None need be lost.